everyone, welcome to Nancy's Nuggets, a podcast dedicated to sharing stories from real people, fun facts, music, and more. The goal is to relax, listen, maybe you'll resonate with someone or something. We're all on our own journey together. Enjoy. Welcome everyone to another episode of Nancy's Nuggets. And today I'm super excited to welcome to the show my friend Melissa. And as usual, I am going to let Melissa tell you a little bit about herself. So hi, Melissa.
Hello.
I am doing wonderful. So thank you so much for jumping on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. So can you tell the audience a little bit about you?
Oh, wow. that's a harder question to answer than one would think. My name is Melissa. I'm from New Jersey. I'm a filmmaker. I actually own my own production company, White Light Productions, which is just a dream come true. But sometimes dreams can be nightmares. I'm so just looking for a time to come up for air and rest and maybe, I don't know, read a book, watch a movie that someone else made. I sound like I'm spoiled, but I don't mean to. It's fun and it's cool and it's challenging, and it gives me the opportunity to network with a lot of interesting artists, which is just fuel for my soul. So it's a good thing.
So cool. So yeah, I love talking to fellow entrepreneurs who are just kicking butt, and especially I love to, you know, talk to you and obviously your husband Pat. You guys are just such awesome creative people. So always an adventure. So I'm going to tell the audience how we actually met. So fun story. So Melissa is here in New Jersey with me, and I started real estate in August of last year, and, you know, super fell in love with it. I love the area. You know, I'd actually been living there in the Hamilton, Mercer County area for the last, gosh, like 3.5-4 years. And I met Melissa and her husband at an open house. And we just had that fun, you know, connection where it was just like, oh, I know you're a creative person. And I know you're a lot of fun, and kind of, you know, just, you know, when you connect with your people. And yeah, that's how I felt. And yeah, Melissa, do you remember when we first met?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because the house that we were looking at, it was just on a whim. It was like, nah, we're really not into that. And we walked in and it was like, oh, we actually kind of do like this. And then when we met you, you love the properties that you sell. And that's such an amazing thing, because if we weren't convinced that we were like starting to dig this house in the first place, talking to you for 5 minutes, like, oh, did you see this? Did you see this hidden over here? It was like, yeah, no, this is a really great place. And we obviously bought it and we're happy here.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What a fun experience. And it's so funny you mentioned that, because it's so true. Any house that I sell, and including like you guys' house, after doing so many open houses and being in, you know, clients' houses, I start to kind of get a soft spot, you know. It's hard not to. And it's funny because, you know, you're walking from room to room and you start to realize like, oh, I love this. And I love the flooring and I love that little nook over there. And I know in the house that we sold from you guys before you bought the new one, I just loved you had that landing area upstairs.
Yes.
That was just like a nice little sitting area, and it had a, you know, built-in bookshelves, and it was just super, super cute and such a cool feature on a house that, you know, could be like every other, but it wasn't, you know, it was super, super unique. So that's how we met. And it's just, gosh, it's been a lot of fun, you know, just knowing you guys. I know a couple of weeks ago, just so, you know, for our viewers, Melissa had asked me to help out and do a little snippet on, what was it? It was something that you were recording, like a comedy.
Yeah, it's, again, it's an elaborate answer to that. It's a simple question. It's a comedy series that I'm doing that is included in a variety show that my production company is producing.
So cool.
Oh God. But like I said, I'm wearing so many hats, and that's one of the challenging things for me right now is waking up in the morning and it's like, okay, there are about 20 things I want to do. If I'm lucky, I have time to get 5 of them done. Certainly some are like necessary, like grocery shopping, paying bills, invoicing clients so I can get paid. And then finding that little bit of time where it's like, okay, I have time to be creative today, but I have so many projects that I'm in the middle of what gets my attention today? So I'm joking about that. Before we started recording this session, the comedy series, the episode that you're going to air on, I was just trying to redo the narration because I was watching, I do an on-camera narration part of it, which is kind of like a goofy thing.
I love that.
And I'm rewatching it. And I'm like, I think the pacing is too slow. It needs to pick up a little bit. So now I'm going back and re-recording work I've already done.
Oh, and yeah, that's the hard part too about being a creative is sometimes you judge, you know, and you pick your own work apart.
Yes.
So much to the point of sometimes it's like, okay, where where are we? Since
right.
We
when
first
you
started?
Let go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And it's like, I've seen this about at least 15 times. So again, I'm going, the delivery of that line was a little slow. It loses some of the comedy on the joke because it wasn't quick enough. But if someone's seeing it for the first time, I'm sure they're like, no, you're fine.
Yeah, it's so true. Oh, my goodness. I totally hear you. So what we normally do on these podcast episodes, because, you know, I love to hear about people's stories. I love to hear, you know, a little bit about you and kind of the things that make you happy and different stories and things in your life. And, you know, this is a very laid back podcast, as I, you know, I've explained to viewers before. It's just, I want people to have a platform to really just share a little bit about them and tell their stories that maybe, you know, it could resonate and connect with someone else. And I just, again, I love that you're a creative. I love that you're an entrepreneur, which is not an easy thing, right? It's very hard. And when you say that there's 20 things, right, that you want to get done in a day, I cannot relate to you anymore. Like, I mean, honestly, it's like I wake up in the morning and I found myself, you know, yesterday, full transparency, I had a little breakdown because, you know, I am juggling 3 businesses at the moment. You know, I call myself a multipreneur, which is a residential cleaning business that I run remotely. I also have a digital agency. And then I have my real estate business, which I absolutely love. And I find it a struggle every day to really just not have that shiny object syndrome where I want to open up 30 windows and, you know, like I'm all over the place sometimes. But I found out, you know, with a little time blocking and prioritizing and goal setting and using a Trello board, I'm able to be more efficient. But what things, I kind of want to know more about you and like, tell me about your journey and like, how did you get to kind of being an entrepreneur and a filmmaker and, you know, what that looked like. I mean, what that journey has looked like and up to where you are now.
It's great that you asked me that question because just outside of our conversations, I've kind of been looking back in the past, just a lot of little things are peeking their head up and reminding me of experiences that I've had that have led me to where I am today.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I mean, I've always loved film. It's connected with me ever since I was a kid. Probably the classic story that we tell at dinner parties is, I guess it was 4 when E.T. came out in theaters.
Yes.
And that totally dates me. But, but so here's this 4-year-old girl, big blue eyes, blonde hair and pigtails. And E.T. is being left behind. And I've talked to people about this. I'm definitely an empath. It's like, yes. I feel so much. So I see this creature being left behind on a strange planet. And I start freaking out. And I jumped out of my seat and I started running down to the movie screen. And I'm yelling, run, E.T., run, run. And that was it. My parents were like, uh-oh, we've got trouble here. So seriously, from then everyone knew it was probably I was going to do something creative, whether it be writing or film or TV. Then it's interesting. It's very interesting. As I got a little bit older, in middle school, girls can be kind of mean.
Yeah.
I mean, adult women can be kind of mean too.
Yes, totally
like
agree.
In the age range. Yeah. But, you know, all the insecurities that come with being an adolescent. And it was very much communicated to me. Well, I should say I wanted to act. I was taking acting classes. I was really passionate about it. I was loving doing all the Greek myths. I mean, where I lived. It was so much fun, which of course made me totally strange to my fellow classmates who just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I get that they didn't get it, but still, it was hard to find a place where I could fit and connect with them. But it also made it easy for people to pick on me too, because I was so unusual. And yeah, it was communicated to me that I was too ugly and I was too stupid and I could never make it as an actress. And that broke my heart back then.
Yeah.
As an older woman now looking back, I make it sound like I'm 110, an older woman, but as a grown up now looking back, that was probably the best gift they ever could have given me, because I don't think I have a thick enough skin to appear in front of the camera. I mean, in my own stuff, it's fine because I'm my own.
Yeah, I think you're great. Yeah.
Thank you. But to do it for a living, I don't think that would have been a very productive path for me. I think it might have done a lot more damage than good.
Yeah.
But I am laughing because my birthday is coming up. I know I'm like hopping all over the place in this conversation.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
My birthday is coming up. And so I can share. It doesn't matter. For my 40th. For my 40th birthday, I want to go to the Beetle House in New York City, which is all Tim Burton themed movies.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, every night it's like a different movie that they're theming, and how it comes back to the story I'm telling you is middle school. I'm down in the dumps. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I'm not going to act, I don't know who I am. And it was sitting in the theater watching Tim Burton's Batman.
Wow.
Where it starts, it's a Tim Burton film. Then you see all the credits roll. And at the very end, it was directed by Tim Burton. And I thought to myself, I'm going to show all those snobby girls. I'm going to be a director. I'll get a credit twice. That'll show them. And honestly, I've never looked back.
Oh, I love it. I love, 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 love.
It's crazy. Like I said, it's such a crazy story. And so like looking at that now, I'm like, man, what hurt me so much and could have broken me completely.
Yeah.
I took and I turned and I used as fuel. And it's like, well, I'll show you. You have no idea how creative I am. Like, please see this. And then I was lucky enough that in high school I went to had a very strong communications program. In my junior year, I was doing a radio program with them, which was so much fun. Oh my gosh. And before we transitioned senior year to taking the television program, I was offered an internship, paid internship, actually, at Arthur McNeil Pharmaceutical, which was great because it's like, oh, wow, okay, this is cool. So I'm going to get my feet wet a little bit and see if I pursued this more than artistically, what I could do with it. And the joke of the whole thing is I actually had to participate in the Future Business Leaders of America group and take a business class. Now I'm 16 going on 17 and I'm an artist, baby. I want nothing to do with this business class. It's like so stifling. I was such a snob.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical because the class actually, it wasn't a large class. It was maybe 10 people, but they actually nominated me as president of FBLA that year. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. And they're like, no, you're the smartest among us. You're the most ambitious. You should do this. And I'm like, whatever. So just recently in our move, I found a portfolio that I had to write for my senior year for this class, just to talk about, you know, working at Ortho McNeil and my experience there. Oh my gosh. It was just so funny because the 17-year-old me was very appreciative of the experience. I thanked all the people that were helpful for me, to me, you know, helped teach me and show me things. But the final portion of this was just, I don't think that I'm going to work in like corporate America because I'm an artist. And like, they couldn't even find a desk for me to sit at. And I mean, how am I supposed to be helpful if they can't find time for me to do things with them? And the art world is more for me. Like I said, flash forward to now I'm 40. I own my own business. Yes, I have some corporate clients that I adore that are so kind to me and I fit in so well with them. So so this whole move, finding that book, it was like, I have to keep this in my office just as a reminder. So when I am going through something where I'm like, I'm uncomfortable, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. Yes, acknowledge that moment.
Yes.
But still use it as a learning experience.
Wow. I love that. No, I love so much. And I totally resonate with what you're saying. Like, you know, you're talking about middle school and just, you know, people and gosh, I was that person. I was in band in high school. So you can imagine, you know, like,
what did you play?
I actually played the bells, the xylophone.
Cool. That's so cool.
So I was the one out front. And of course I had, the big fancy band hat and the uniform. So you can imagine how nice other kids are. You
know? Right. Yeah. Right.
But I was just always that kind of like, gosh, I was kind of like a leaf in the wind in high school. You know, I kind of just was friends with everybody. You know, I never really was in a clique. But I think I've always struggled, and, you know, I'm happy you shared this. Like, I've always struggled with my self-confidence and feeling confident myself. And it's been kind of an ongoing thing my whole life. And I just love how you shared with us how you kind of turn that into your fuel, which not everybody can do. You know, sometimes, right. You know, that kind of stuff really just crushes people, and it forces them into, you know, not believing in themselves. And they do kind of end up just getting tossed into a job maybe they don't love, or, you know, they get tossed in that rigmarole where they just, you know, don't think that they can do anything else. So kudos to you for actually turning that into a positive and really using it to fuel your fire, which bringing you to where you are now. So super cool. All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and this is how the podcast goes. I'm going to continue to kind of fire some questions, you know, and hopefully they'll kind of bounce off each other. But the first question I have for you, you know, just in your entire, just growing up everywhere, you know, basically to where you are now, like, what are the things that make you most happy?
Wow. Oh, the things that make me most happy. Quiet time. I know that sounds awful, but no, just sitting, finding a connection quietly. This is going to sound weird. Believe it or not, I'm very introverted, which people don't believe when I tell them.
Yeah.
Because I do seem like, oh, I'm the life of the party. Yeah. Attention. I'm so quiet. I'm so shy. I mean, I'm painfully shy, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. So to find just like I said, a little bit of time to read a book and find other people's stories. Like right now I'm reading a biography on Dorothy Parker, and I'm just like, I know this woman. I totally connect with this woman. I get her. So just having those moments where quietly I can connect with others and be like, all right, so I'm not alone in this. Others are kind of scuffling and trying to figure things out. And somehow they made it. I can make this too.
Yes.
Just other people's art. Yes. And seeing like really, really good art being produced. That excites me.
I love it. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I just, it's funny. So you know, I'm the same way. It's just funny that you're saying all these things and I'm like, me too. And it's cool because, right, I've known you guys for a little while now, and I, you know, I'm still continuing to learn more and more, which is super cool. But, you know, I'm the same way. I actually was incredibly shy, almost crippling shy.
Really?
Yeah. Like my first couple years of high school, you know, as people would tell me, even in my family, that they thought I was stuck up or whatever because I was so quiet. Like I just, yes. I didn't want to open my mouth, and I was nervous, and I actually had kind of like a nervous sweat. Like I couldn't wear cotton shirts, like, you know, the whole thing. I was just, you know, a little ball of nervous energy. And I just told my fiance the other day, I was like, hey, I came up with this quote. What do you think? And, you know, he always gives me the, you know, like whatever. Well, the quote that I came up with is like, I'm like a baked potato. I take a while to warm up.
I liked it.
And I started laughing, and he's just like, oh man. But it's so true, right? Like I think it's fun to have these conversations, especially in this podcast, because you think you know someone, right? And then you kind of have those one-off like interactions with them where it's kind of like bits and pieces, right? Single serving, I call it, like single serving pieces. And you think you know someone, and the more you really kind of get in there and you kind of peel back the layers a little bit, you find out, wow, okay, they're a human being too. And oh my gosh, maybe it's the same stuff I struggle with. And, you know, it's really kind of cool because, you know, you can learn so much more, and everybody has such an amazing story, which brought them to where they are. And you know what, like, gosh, I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent, but it's really just kind of, you know, making me think because oddly enough, whenever I was little, I actually remember sitting in biology class. And I'm a middle child, right? So I've always tried to get attention. you know, so I've always been really happy with the fact that, oh, I'm so unique and I'm different and I'm one of a kind. And I remember sitting in biology and learning about the Punnett squares, right? And learning that you're 50% of your mom and you're 50% of your dad. And I was just like, what? but I was told I was 100% unique, you know, like I was something so special, you know, and I remember thinking that, and I was like, man, so wait a second, like, you know, I'm these two people, like, that's all I am. I can't be anything else, right? And so, yeah, like, I remember how that affected me psychologically. And now that I've gotten older, I realize that what makes us so unique and so different is actually our story, because no two people can have the same story.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And put two people in the exact same situation and they're going to A, see it differently. Yep. B, deal with it differently. I mean, it's fascinating. Study human nature. Sometimes disturbing, but fascinating more than disturbing.
Gosh, yes. It's definitely, it's some, you know, it's a wide range of things. but yeah, so let's see. Sorry, I want to get back on track. It's so funny, but whenever I go on a tangent, I'm like, oh my God, I totally. So you just talked about what made you happy, which is super cool. What is something about you that people may be surprised to find out?
I think I said it, that I'm very, very introverted.
Yes. Okay. Surprised to know. Definitely. Cause yeah, I think you're kind of like me, right? You come across as like, oh, this outgoing, bubbly person. And then, you know, to really get to know you, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I do think that if you put me in a room with people that don't know each other,
yes,
I'm strong, because I know that we're all insecure. Yeah. So I can take the reins and just make sure that everybody knows everyone and they're all introduced. But I mean, I'm thinking back to when I was at film school.
Yeah.
It was that way, definitely, where I first came in. I'm like, hi, everybody. I'm Melissa. What do you do? Who's your favorite filmmaker? Blah, blah, blah. But then like 2 or 3 weeks in, when groups started to form, I got very quiet and very shy. And much like you, because I was sort of friends with everyone,
yeah,
I didn't click necessarily any one place.
Yeah.
And I think that makes people question sometimes, like, well, what is your allegiance and who are you? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
Gosh, it's so true. Yeah. And it's funny because I moved around a lot whenever I was little, and I kind of like would form friendships and then they go away and then I form friendships. And it's like, oh gosh, that's part of my puzzle too, is like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I do have a friend who I've been best friends with since we were 8, you know, that's finally, I, you know, found my home and, you know, kind of, you know, started going from there. But yeah, that's a whole nother, you know, interacting with somebody often enough and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Awesome. So next question I have for you is, do you have a favorite joke or a favorite quote?
Oh my gosh. right now it's laugh and the world laughs with you, cry and you cry alone.
Wow.
And that's where I stole my my comedy series from, is called And the World Laughs.
Oh, wow.
And I stole from that quote. And it is all based, I'm writing stories about things that have happened to me.
Yeah.
And so I have to kind of give my friends a heads up sometime that it's like, no, this isn't actually about you. It's inspired by something you said. And I kind of just ran with it and created this character. But yeah, it is definitely, that's from that night that we were talking about that. And a lot of them are about my parents. And I've kind of said to my mom, like, just let you know, my family has fueled a lot of my art.
Yeah.
And for me, art comes from, I'm trying to explore, who am I? How did I end up here? And working through, I tease, I'm like, it's a very expensive form of therapy,
yes,
to be honest.
Yes.
I'm just putting myself out there. And it's like, okay, this happened. And I wonder if I had said that instead of doing this.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And well, what if that could have happened? So my family's always had the heads up that, yeah, you're going to see yourselves. and well, I'll tell you one such story. It's not available yet for streaming, but it will be my feature film, Leaving Virginville, that came out in 2017. When I'd come home from film school, my parents kind of expected me to be the person I was before I left, which means telling them exactly where I'm going, how long I'm going to be somewhere, who I'm going to be with, because that's the way that I was raised.
Yeah.
But I lived in New York for a year.
Oh, wow.
On my own, doing my own thing, going to museums, going to midnight movies. And I guess I kind of was like, well, this is what adults do now. So there was a bit of a push and pull. And I got very depressed because I also thought like, well, the film career starts now. And it kind of didn't.
Yeah.
And I think all of us that were young, we have that sense that, you know, as soon as you graduate, the world's yours.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily true. So because I was scuffling with, well, what's the next move I should make? And then kind of my parents wanting me to return to the more youthful child I was.
Yeah.
I was very depressed and my mother kicked me out of the house.
Oh gosh.
Because I was depressed.
Yeah.
But that's part of the narrative of leaving Virginville, where it's like, okay, you know, you're so miserable here. Go out into the world and find what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And the question of, well, what happens if you do that and there's nothing out here that makes you happy either?
Oh, gosh. Wow. Yeah.
It's a struggle. Growing up sucks.
Yeah. No, it's really funny. The more you talk, I mean, the more I feel like we have so many stories that connect because
it's funny.
You know, I'm the first one to graduate from college and, you know, my parents,
wow.
Yeah, they were pretty surprised when I actually was like, I'm going here, you know, and I actually packed my bags. I, you know, went out and I actually went to Shippensburg, which is about 3 hours away. And I threw up my first night there. You know, I was so nervous.
Yep, yep.
I was like, I hear you. Oh my God, why am I throwing up? But I'm like, you know, it was just, I was, you know. And I returned home and I just remember feeling, and my mom made a comment. And sorry, Mom, if you're listening, I'm just being real with the world. but, you know, she made a comment because my stepdad and I haven't always gotten along. And, you know, we just have very different yet similar personalities. And we kind of had a fight for no reason. And I called my mom, who was, you know, away at the time. And she said, well, it's okay because you're not going to be living here much longer. And I remember feeling like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm about to graduate from college. I have college. Yeah. Like, I'm taking the weight of that on my shoulders. And I'm like, I am going to need a place to live. I can't just, you know, and so it hit me like a brick. And it basically made me go into like fight or flight mode, which was, I need to get the hell out of here as soon as I graduate, you know? So I totally kind of connect with what you're saying. And what a freaking crazy time, right? Like after graduating, you think, okay, there's all these bells and whistles and now you're going to be a grown up and things are just going to make sense. And it's like, no, things don't make sense. You know, like, you know, you're still trying to figure out what the fuck you want to do. And now that you've got this degree and you're like, okay, now I'm a professional. And then you got to compete with all these other people. And honestly, like, I hate popularity contests. I hate it when people, you know, are butt kissers. And, you know, I just hate the whole process. And I just remember feeling so, I mean, exactly what you're saying. Like, I felt depressed. I felt lost. And I felt like I was forced into kicking into high gear. I mean, extremely quick to make things, you know, work. And, Anyway,
putting that, I'm sorry, just coming real quick. So putting that in the film was therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
And my mom saw, obviously she saw the film, she produced it.
Yeah.
She was the executive producer. She was like, wow, it was interesting to be able to see that through your eyes. And that was a very difficult time.
Yeah.
She's like, but to witness it, to sit next to you as a grown up now. And it's, wow, we both survived that.
Is it?
And I'm sorry that happened that way.
Yeah.
But look at what you, again, look at what you did with it.
Yeah.
It could have broken you and you said, screw it. It's in the script.
Yeah.
I'm coming after all of you.
Watch out, mother effers, you know, like, yeah.
Exactly.
And that's so great too, that like you and your mom could share that moment and like that understanding. Cause you know, I think about how many parents like don't kind of say things like that, right? You know, how many parents are like, oh, well, you know, it's just totally don't admit that maybe it was a little tough or see it through from, you know, your perspective. You know, I know my relationship with my mom and my family, like, gosh, it has gone from one thing to another thing to now completely realizing that, guess what? We're all okay, right? You know, we're all okay. And no matter what patch of life was a little rocky or some things that were said that were a little crazy, you know, we are all okay. And we all just love each other so much. And it's like for all faults, you know, all positives, negatives, and everything, it's just, you know, here we are. And we can only continue to work on making things, you know, the best that they can be. And then obviously, you know, continuing on with life. But whew, I think of how many people that's not happening or, you know, that might be even harder. So,
yeah.
All right. So can you share, and I do want to respect your time. So if you have to, you know, if you got to go somewhere, just let me know. I do want to ask you if you had to pick three words to describe yourself, what three words would they be?
Oh, I'm sorry, you just cut out.
Okay. Sorry. If you had to pick three words to describe yourself, if you had to think of three things that just come to your mind, how would you describe you?
Oh, wow. Creative. Wow. Curious.
Okay.
Passionate.
Great. Love it. All right. Now, how got my little list of questions. All right. What do you love about yourself?
My thirst for knowledge. Not when it comes to every topic. Certain topics I have just no head for, and it's like I moved on. But awesome. Yeah, I'm always interested to learn something new.
Love that. All right. And then what is, a great life lesson or some advice that you've heard that you'd like to share with the audience and kind of leave them with, something that has really made an impact with you?
I guess it sort of comes from a story. One of the characters in my feature film was based on a communications teacher that I had. Great guy. When I was going through this thing with my mom and just trying to figure everything out in my youth, I was walking down the hallway and he had stopped me and he was like, "How are you?" And I said, "Oh, fine." And he kind of took, not in a rough way, but took me by the shoulder and he said, "No, how are you?"
Yeah.
And I just burst into tears and I was like, "I'm a mess. I don't know. I'm unhappy." But that act of kindness to just really listen to people, is something that I've kind of tried to take with me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. There are days where I'm so screwed up and I'm in the middle of my own drama that I can't give attention to others. But just, I guess it's sort of the reason you're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Everyone has a story. Everyone's going through something.
Yeah.
Try and be respectful. Even if you don't understand what the heck they're talking about, they're going through it. So just try and be respectful and giving someone an ear sometimes can mean more than you even realize.
Absolutely. Gosh, it's so true. So, so true. All right. Well, Melissa, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to really share some amazing things. I actually had a lot of fun learning more about you. And I'm sure the listeners will absolutely love hearing your story as well. And then can you just let us know again, what's the name of your production company and where can people find you if they want to check out your art?
White Light Productions. Spelled like the word white, WHITE, light, LYTE, Productions. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. I founded a film festival that's happening at the Princeton Garden Theater on October 13th.
Excellent.
This year. So that is a light in the dark. Again, playing with words. A light, LYTE, in the dark. And you can find that too on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much. I hope everyone has a wonderful day. Thanks again to tuning into Nancy's Nuggets, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Nancy's Nuggets. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have a minute and you want to give us a review, we would very much appreciate it. So please give us a 5-star review and share any feedback or takeaways you've had. Thanks again and have a great day.